I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Breaking news.
We do have some breaking news here on the Eagles front. According to Adam Schefter, the Eagles and left tackle Jordan Mailata reached an agreement on a three-year, $66 million extension that includes $48 million guaranteed and a $20 million signing bonus.
Ooh-wee.
So the deal ties Mailata to Philadelphia through the 2028 season. The $22 million per year average puts him only behind Laremy Tunsil, Trent Williams, and Andrew Thomas as the highest paid tackles in football.
Mm. Ooh.
Good for Big Jordan,
good,
man.
Good for Jordan Mailata.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, it's a good move by the Eagles. I mean, listen, he's young. He's hitting the prime of his career right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's your left tackle. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Certainly has a great rapport over there with Landon Dickerson. And those guys blocking together, both of those guys now are locked up for the next 4 to 5 years. You don't have to worry about your offensive line. I would imagine Cam Jurgens is there as your center. We'll figure out what they're doing at right guard. Even if Jurgens is your right guard and then you have to get somebody else to be your center, I would imagine Cam Jurgens is in the mix as one of your starting offensive linemen. And then we obviously know Lane is over there at your right tackle. Be interesting to see what Lane wants to do moving forward from a football standpoint. You know, some people think the Eagles may be inclined to take an offensive lineman this year in the first round.
Yep.
I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I would do that. You got some good young guys. Unless Lane is giving you some sort of strong indication that this is probably going to be his last year, like, this is an opportunity for you to add players on the defensive side of the football. Like, you don't need to draft out of fear and waiting for someone to retire. Like, you got an opportunity to add what would be perceived as the 22nd best player in the entire draft, and he could help you this year. You draft the right guy.
And at the same time, they've shown an ability to get offensive linemen all over the draft.
Yeah.
We know Kelsey, sixth-round pick. Yep. Sayamalu, when they won the Super Bowl, were in the Super Bowl, was a third-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Dickerson, second-round
pick. Mailata's a seventh-round
pick. Mailata, seventh-round pick. Like, I know Lane's great, and Lane is great. That's mm-hmm. the only time they've used really a top-five pick on one of these tackles. So yep. when you have a guy like Jeff Stoutland, everyone talks about this draft being a phenomenal offensive line draft. Like, just find them all over the draft.
Now, and to piggyback off what you're saying, Lane Johnson is the only one they've drafted in the first round that have actually worked.
Yeah, well, Dillard, obviously a huge swing and a miss.
We haven't had another first-round draft pick lineman, I believe. Sean Andrews was there.
Sean Andrews.
And that was a short period. But other than that, it's Trey Thomas. Most of our linemen, starting linemen, the best ones, have come in other rounds, not the first round. Like everybody likes to say, oh, we drafted in the trenches. We've drafted one good lineman in the first round. Offensive lineman.
And they got
that was the fourth pick in the draft.
They got their Hall of Fame left tackle in Peters, and
that was a trade.
Like they can go trade for guys.
Yeah. They've also. Well, I'm just thinking about the whole idea you have to take an offensive lineman in the first round when in reality it's not like our offensive line has been littered with first round draft picks.
No.
You can get them in the seventh round.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like as a throw-in after you win.
Like our best linemen have been out of the first round other than Lane Johnson.
Right.
That's for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Trey got drafted in 98 with me.
And this is what I try to tell.
That was 25 years
ago. It's been a minute,
yeah. 26 years ago.
I tried to tell that to TK and Giglio last year with those starving for Skoronski.
Yeah.
They wanted to take a guard in the top 10. I mean, that's a horrible idea.
It's not
idea.
Necessary. I completely agree. Like, and with Jeff Stoutland here, you don't have to take an offensive lineman in the first round. As a matter of fact, it has not worked more often than it has worked.
I know. It's just so funny, like, Kelsey's retired, and it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think people just put so much trust in Stoutland. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
They might not be as good, but they should be at least serviceable.
Yeah,
they've never really been a disaster under Stoutland. The one year was 2020.
It was 2020, yeah,
and it was Jamone Brown. Like that
was circumstance. That's a bad year. Yes,
it's a bad year for everyone.
Literally
everyone. Literally
everybody. Yeah.
Carson.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
He rebounded, though.
It was Howie's worst year. Like, it was a bad – no, it really was a bad year for everyone, though. But in all seriousness, the signing is good for Jordan Mailata. He's obviously one of our favorites, everyone's favorite. And so you got him locked up. It's good for the big fella. Didn't have his best year last year. So, the Eagles are obviously looking at that as sort of an aberration versus what he has been prior to that and what they project him to be moving forward. So – I got no problem with the signing. Good signing, man. Left tackles at that price. The Eagles know the market for linemen is going up. That's why they're getting these guys locked in now.
And the reality.
I mean, guards are literally making $20+ million now.
He might have actually just taken what Hassan Reddick's pay bump might have been.
Like, well, yeah, so he's,
now
of
he's,
course.
Now
yes.
He's $22 million. I forget what Mailata's number was before this.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess, it was probably 17, 18. So, I mean, they decided Mailata, more important to get done. They also, other news that came out earlier today, mm-hmm. brought back Avonte Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
So, Avonte Maddox back in the fold. Seems like that takes them out of the Justin Simmons market.
Yeah. I think the Reed Blankenship thing took them out of the market. Yeah.
Right. So, Reed Blankenship back. You have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson will be next to him. And then now Avonte, probably the most likely guy for the slot.
Yeah.
I guess if he gets hurt again, then Isaiah Rodgers can go in there.
Yeah, I just don't. The defense doesn't do anything for me. Sorry, I'm not about to sit here and make up a bunch of, oh, we're going to be great and this and that and the other. Like, okay, like I like Avonte Maddox, but the defense is what it is.
Yeah,
like, I don't. I'm going to have to see it. Like it seems like we're putting a lot of faith in Vic Fangio and his scheme and all this trust and this and that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're.
I just don't see it myself right now. I see the defense as a issue right now, and I think it could be a reason why they don't ultimately reach their potential as an overall team and where they could go. You know, this idea that the defense is going to learn on the fly this year and it's a growing pain year and this and that and the other. Okay, well, that can also cost you games. It can also cost you a playoff game. So. You know, while you have an offense that's really built to win a championship, it would be sad and unfortunate that your defense isn't good enough to hold up its end of the bargain so that your offense can actually maximize the talent that's on that side of the ball. You know, Avonte coming back, okay, I don't even know if Avonte's going to play more than 8 games, like, on the year.
He hasn't done it in forever, it seems like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're treating it like a luxury.
Yeah.
It seems like that way. And I think it sounds so fine in April.
Yeah.
But having to go through it, like we've lived through Billy Davis. We've lived through some of this stuff.
Yep.
We lived through last year.
Believe me, the feeling of leading 27-23 or 30-23 or 30-24 in a game and then losing it 31-24 or losing 28-27 because we can't get a stop late in the game. because we can't cover anybody and get off the field on third down.
The sinking feeling of not being able to get a stop is a bad
thing. And we just went through that. We were the worst third down team in the league.
It was atrocious. We'll cover all of this, obviously, with Baldy coming up at 3:30. So a lot more Eagle stuff. See how he's feeling about this offseason, the draft, all of that good stuff. But we just got a little treat there, that last break.
Yeah.
Because Del Frisco's came in. And thanks to Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse for dropping off a lot of our favorites. Mm. We had some steak in there. The lobster mac and cheese is just
it's always
out of this world. The, the lemon cake's there. Mm. Yeah, the lemon cake is just phenomenal. Mm. If you ever want to book a private party at Del Frisco's, you won't regret it.
It's been up.
Of course. Call 215-246-0533 to make a reservation today. 215-246-0533 for a private party at Del Frisco.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So let's go back to the phone. Mm. Seth is in the Northeast. What's happening, Seth?
It's good stuff.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Seth?
Not much. I just want to talk a little bit about the Phillies. Jack, I'm a little confused about, you know, what you're saying and all these excuses you're making. But what I will say is that Giglio alluded to it earlier is that, you know, I think in the hindsight, I think the Phillies somewhat missed Hoskins. I mean, as much as, you know, you want to say, oh, well, he didn't play great at first base. But, you know, what did the Phillies do to replace that 25 and 90? They didn't do anything. I mean, their biggest acquisition this year was Whit Merrifield. I mean, you could say, okay, they signed Wheeler and Nola, but it's essentially the same team that lost last year. I mean, it's almost like how the season ended last year, it kind of is going into this year so far. I mean, the lineup's not different. There's no protection around Harper. And what's going on? Castellanos has the same approach as he did in the NLCS. He looks like he has a wiffle ball bat in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. But where did you want Hoskins? How did you want this whole thing to work with Hoskins back?
Well, what I'm saying is, what you could have done, I mean, as much as Harper tries to run things, I would have told Harper, listen, dude, we need you in right field. We got to bring back Hoskins. We need protection in this lineup. You know, it makes the team better. Or you should have went out and signed a guy like Cody Bellinger, who would have given you the same thing, you know, and could play the outfield and play first base. They elected to not go that route. You know, Bellinger got 3 years, $80 million. I was telling a bunch of buddies that's exactly what I would have given them if I was the Phillies, because they don't have anything that is protecting Harper. If you're going to keep the lineup the way it is, you're not going to put Schwarber at 4 or 5, then essentially, like, you need other guys like Castellanos to step up, and he's not stepping up. You know, Boehm is down the lineup. Stott's down the lineup. Like, if you're not going to put anything around Harper, you can't expect him to do it all. I mean, We got
this whole idea of Rhys Hoskins protecting him. I mean, I love Rhys, but he was also a super streaky player as well. And when he was here, he batted second in the year they went to the World Series. So who's he protecting?
You're right. You know, listen, you're not wrong. I mean, I disagree that the fact that the lineup, he should have been batting second. But again, I'm just saying you didn't replace the guy. You didn't replace the guy who gives you 25 and 90.
Yeah, and
well, he could definitely be your cleanup hitter.
He
right
could
now.
Be. I know, yeah. But they doubled down on defense. Yeah.
Oh wow, Rojas. Okay, great. But I know. You can't hit the ball in the infield. I mean, dude, let's be real, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be able to do all the things in baseball. You can't just be able to, you know, track a ball in center field and can't hit. Like, you got to do both. I mean, this is a sport where you got to be able to do both. You can't just do one and not the other. And I can't say it's not Rojas' fault. It's really not his fault. I just don't think he's an everyday major leaguer.
And honestly, Seth, they're not putting him in a position to succeed, really.
No.
What do you mean by that?
I mean,
roll him out there every day. I mean, he's out.
Either he can do it or he can't. He's batting ninth. He's playing center field. Where do you want him to bat? Fifth?
Well, I wouldn't bat him at all. If you bring in a true outfielder that can play the position every day and can hit and can field,
right,
you don't have to worry about Rojas in there.
Yes.
You know, listen, the Phillies, you know, they spent a lot of money over the last couple of years. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But they essentially have the same lineup that has failed last year. And You know, last year their whole thing was we're going to improve the pitching staff, right? Okay, they went and got a guy like Taiwan Walker. They didn't even use him in the playoffs. So
yeah, he stinks.
You know, like he does stink. But what I'm saying is, we our thing last year or 2 years ago when we lost in the World Series was we needed more pitching, right? All right, we went out and got an extra pitcher who didn't even pitch in the postseason last year. So this year we needed more hitting.
But why is that? Chris Sanchez also developed. So the Taiwan Walker thing sort of a moot point. I mean, Chris Sanchez should have pitched over Taiwan Walker in the postseason. The Kimbrel thing was bad, yeah. But they have an adequate bullpen pieces. The bullpen's not the issue right now. I mean, yeah. Brogdon stinks, but Kirkring's on his way back.
Yeah, Brogdon stinks. But I'm just saying that I think they kind of dropped the ball in not signing any real free agents. They signed Whit Merrifield. That's all they did.
What's the best thing about being a kid, Seth?
When the ice cream truck would come down the street.
Ooh.
That's a big answer.
Ooh.
Big answer. Everyone would run to it.
Ooh.
What's your go-to ice cream truck purchase?
Ooh, I got a couple of them. You got to go with the, what is it? I think ours was called the Atomic Bomb, the red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah.
Popsicle, yeah, that one. What else? Any of the ones with the bubble gum in it?
Okay.
So you had different cartoon characters back then. Back then, this dude, this is before your day and time.
I'm sure, way before. Jack. Yeah.
Pac-Man. So you remember Pac-Man, the video game Pac-Man? So they used to have like the Ghostbuster sort of popsicles. And they had the two eyeballs in the Ghostbusters would be bubblegum.
See, I think for us, for Buzz and I, that became SpongeBob.
Not Ghostbusters.
Yes.
They weren't called Ghostbusters. I forgot what they were called in Pac-Man.
Yeah, I forgot what they're called.
Ghostbusters is another movie, actually.
It's a different movie.
Yeah, but,
I'm sure it's big back in the day.
Yeah. They were the guys that the Pac-Man used to have to eat up, but they used to sell those as frozen pops with the eyeballs bubblegum.
Yeah, so they did with SpongeBob.
Made them out of SpongeBob.
Same thing.
The SpongeBob thing. It was phenomenal.
And we still get ice cream trucks.
In your neighborhood?
Yeah.
When you hear that song in the summer,
it's
got to be the most recognizable song in the world. Everyone knows what it is.
Yeah, we still get the truck. It's smart because you're out in the suburbs. You know there shouldn't be an ice cream truck out there. So the ice cream truck people are smart to actually go out there and roll through those neighborhoods. Because kids are like, what the hell? It's an ice cream truck? And it's like,
go run to your parents.
Yeah,
get some
for
money
parents,
quick.
We're like, awesome. Yeah, we hit an ice cream truck coming through. You can go out. So, yeah.
There's no fun. I mean, ice cream truck drivers must feel like the Beatles, man.
Everyone runs after them.
Everyone runs after them.
Chase it down.
Yeah, it's great. I was a big strawberry shortcake guy.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Strawberry shortcake. Chocolate eclair.
The strawberry crunch.
Yeah, essentially.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
I can't wait for a walk to experience.
Now, see, ice cream truck when I was a kid was more like it was on Friday.
Okay.
Big Worm,
when
he showed up, boy,
you knew
with
the driver.
You won't. Yeah, that, I had that truck experience as a kid. My kids don't experience that truck driver.
Yeah, there's no tension. There's
Big
no
Worm tension. Is not driving the truck anymore.
Now, hold on. Have you seen Friday?
Yeah. Let me tell you, if Big Worm rolled up in my neighborhood, I'd be like, man, get the hell out of here right now.
Call the cops. 100%.
Because he's behind the ice cream truck, handing him
100% call the cops.
You ever have the Choco Taco?
Oh, man.
The Choco Taco was awesome.
Choco Taco was a big deal, man.
God. Can't wait for summer, man.
Ice cream truck was good, man. That's a good one.
That's a great answer.
Now, can adults go to the ice cream truck?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Man, I go to it, yes.
That was a passionate yes.
Yes. Yes, I'm going. Listen, I'm running to the truck to see exactly what you got in there, okay? Yeah. What you got in here?
Well, you're walking.
I mean, I got to make sure I stop the truck. Yeah, I hear it.
If that truck starts pulling away,
he's going to have to full sprint mode.
Like a kickoff or something.
What I'm worried for is Ike thinks it's 2002 again, and there's some kids going for the –
down. No. Listen, sometimes the kids will have already stopped him, and I can walk to it. But if I hear it late and it takes off already, then, you know, I got to run to the next stop.
Yeah, chase it down.
I got to run to the next stop.
I need camera. I need video footage of this. This is awesome.
You chasing down the ice cream truck in Jersey?
If you're wondering,
it was not a full sprint.
It's not a full sprint. It's a
not yet. Truck. Not until it's a block away.
If you're wondering why we're asking for the best thing about being a kid, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic with Bob Dylan and Robert Plant and a whole lot more with WrestleMania, you know, in town. Wrestling as a kid was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned 12. And it was like a little much, but it's okay.
Favorite tag team? The British Bulldogs.
Yeah, see, I don't know. What's a tag team?
Tag team is two guys.
No, I know, but, like, what do they do? They
was 2 versus 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I didn't know the tag.
Even I knew that.
How the hell do you not know what a tag?
I figured I'd get context clues would get that. I just didn't know, like, everyone's like, who's your favorite tag team?
Well, yeah, well, you got the favorite tag team. I got the Legion of Doom. I got the Road Warriors. You know, I got the Hart Foundation with Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Jimmy Hart was the manager.
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Here's another one. This is an underrated tag team. They didn't have a real – I can't remember their tag team name, but it was Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. And they used to come out to Born in the USA. So Barry Windham was from Sweetwater, Texas. Still remember it. And Mike Rotundo was from Syracuse. That was one of my favorite tag teams also.
The All-American Duo.
Yeah, man.
Syracuse coming out to that.
Sweetwater, Texas.
Sweetwater, Texas.
Yeah. See, like, I don't really get the tag team thing. I understand the –
No, I mean, don't get me into the six-man tag team.
No, I know. I don't want to get you too fired up. I can see it in your eyes. You excited to talk about the old wrestling days. I'm more, I guess, a one-on-one wrestling guy.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The greatest six-man tag team match with Hogan, Mr. T, and Andre the Giant.
That's some big names.
You know, they took on this was like WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania 1 or 2. They took on Big John Studd, Roddy Piper. And I'm missing somebody. I'm missing one person. Was it Macho Man? Might have been Macho Man that they took on. That it was a six-man tag team match. Come on, man. Come on, man. Like people out there listening to me, you two don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I know the age bracket that listens to us. They know exactly what I'm talking about. They know exactly what I'm talking about.
There's people in the car right now starting to weep, you know, thinking about the good. Oh, tag team. He turned heel. God. There's nothing worse than wrestling Twitter.
Wrestling Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a bad storyline put out by the WWE tonight.
We know it's fake. We still enjoy it.
He's gonna turn heel. 215-592-9494 is how you get in.
Oh, man.
Plus on the Phillies. Time to calm down. Calm down. Deep breaths on the team. I know they're 2-4, but again, if it happened in June, no one would care. It's time to trust the baseball team. Trust the baseball team. Won a lot of games. Great manager. Great lineup. Lineups had a disappointing, start of the season. That's fine. It's okay. They go through swoons. They go through dips and valleys, right? Is that the
dips and valleys.
Dips and valleys.
Peaks and valleys.
Peaks and valleys,
yes. You know, a dip and a valley is the
same
thing.
Same exact thing.
Basically, yeah.
They go through peaks and valleys in a baseball season. I'm sorry that they got off to a slow start. I know you feel like they were lied to because they said they're going to get off to a hot start. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. It stinks. But the division, it's just one goal. The bigger goal is still the World Series. Nothing has changed from that standpoint. Calm down. Starting staff looks great. Bullpen looks great. Everything's fine. 215-592-9494 to get in on that. Plus, on the other side, Baldy joins us. Been a while since we talked to Baldy. A lot to get into with him. How does he feel about the Eagles offseason, the Hassan Reddick trade, 3 weeks out from the draft? Who does he like? Brian Baldinger joins us next here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.